Hello, and welcome to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren, a podcast where we delve into the stories that make us who we are. I'm Jen, the founder of Connects Workspace, an entrepreneur, community builder, and a believer in the power of kindness.
And I'm Ren, a leadership coach and systems consultant, and a believer in elevating our collective consciousness. Together, we're here to explore the vital chapters of life, the ones that define, challenge, and inspire us.
In every episode, we will open the book on topics that resonate with all of us. From the joys and challenges of life to the adventures that shape our personal and professional journeys.
We believe every individual has a story worth telling. Stories of growth, change, and the wisdom gained along the way. And in this podcast, we're uncovering these stories straight from the soul.
It doesn't matter what chapter of life you are in, there's something here for you. We're here to celebrate the golden moments, the lessons learned, and the paths taken.
So grab a cup of your favorite coffee or tea, settle in, and join us as we embark on this journey together. It's about real people, real stories, and the real chapters that define our lives.
Welcome to Life's Vital Chapters.
Let's turn the page to our next adventure.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ren.
Well, here we are. I think you helped keep me honest here that this is episode 6 that we're recording, or is it episode 7?
I think it's 6. I think you're right.
Oh, okay. Normally I'm one off. So today, this is going to be fun. We get to interview Shelly Shell, and she's a financial strategist, and I know her well from a mastermind that I'm in, and really am appreciating what she's bringing to the world. So I will read her bio and then we'll jump right into getting to know Shelly. All right. So Shelly Shell believes that when women invest in companies they believe in, our world will change. She helps women and their families enhance their relationship with money and meet their financial goals through education-based financial planning. With more than 2 decades of experience, she takes a lifestyle approach, tailoring investment solutions that match each client's beliefs and needs. She is a co-founder and partner of Prism Financial Strategies and the creator of Seasonal Finance, an online educational program designed to inspire women to get involved in investing and financial planning. In addition, Shelly is also a certified divorce financial analyst and helps individuals analyze the long-term financial impact of divorce.
Welcome, Shelly.
Thank you for having me.
Excited to have you here. So you and Ranelle know each other. We just met. I love all things accounting, money, finance. I'm super excited to hear kind of what led you into the world of financial strategies. And tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, great. Thank you all for having me today. I'm excited to be here. So I've been a financial advisor and planner for many years, 25 approximately. And honestly, the journey has been just such a blessing. And I get to explore, you know, relationships with money over those years for women, for families, for everyone going through different stages of their life. And for me, where I've come to after so many years is where do we go with our money and how do we really make connections? And so, you know, it goes back and forth between being a parent, being a planner. And so I'm at this point in my life and in my career where trying to make those connections for women more seamlessly and more intentionally is the goal that I have kind of set forth on my next journey through through planning and education for women and their families. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But, you know, I have 11-year-old twin girls, and I've seen this financial metamorphosis with them as they watch me in my habits. So, you know, throughout my journey of helping clients, this one becomes much more personal. And that's where I've kind of come to this place in my career where I'm like, okay, step back and really think about money differently from the Wall Street hat that I've always worn, and try to get women to think differently as well, but not in the sense that, oh my gosh, I gotta I got to change the way I've always thought about money. It's just thinking a little bit more mindfully and intentionally. And so that's what brings me here today. And excited to share with you guys and talk about it from financial women that love everything finance, like you said.
Yeah. Well, I love that you mentioned your children as well, because I have a boy that's almost 11 and a girl that's almost 13. And that is such a good point of watching their relationship with money and how they watch us and our relationship with money and what we need to shift. And especially as females. So I would love to hear just a little bit more about, women's relationship with money, where it's been, where you think it needs to be, and even feel free to incorporate, adult women, as well as how we need to help our young generation.
So I found in my experience that, women, our nature isn't to, be aggressive with money and make these strategic investment decisions. And, we're the ones who, have the power as consumers. So we've worn those hats for many generations. And, when I sit down with clients, it's always like, okay, let's talk about, money and what it means to you. But the one thing I hear so often is, I don't want to be a bag lady. I don't want to have nothing. I don't understand this stuff. I trust. And I really want to have comfort with where my money is going to give me security, for example, right? So, I've heard this for decades. And what I've stepped back and learned from that is, and again, this is opinion and experience, Wall Street has always kind of had this certain language that it's not really the way we think as women necessarily. I was actually raised a little differently. I learned to trade stocks when I was 10 years old. My dad taught me at the kitchen table. And so when I tell that story, a lot of women will just kind of be like, well, that's not exactly how, I even think of myself in the investment world, but they're there and they want to learn and they want to be engaged. So for me, it really has come back to, where is our mindset around money? And I created a quiz to help women kind of connect initially with their personality type when it comes to spending and money in general, as a baseline to say, okay, I know I have investments, I know I have financial goals and dreams, and I know I can do a lot with the money and the resources I have, but I don't even know where to start, right? So I always believe that the first place is creating this mindful thought process around money. And the first place to do that is in your wallet, okay? So where are you spending your money every day? And what does that look like? And how does that show up in your emotions? Because you had mentioned, Ren, earlier that, what does that look like in our past? Well, a lot of that past emotional connections with money can give you your foundation for going forward, right? And whether you do it intentionally or habitually is very much tied to your past experiences with money. So if we can step back and create mindful experiences on a daily basis with just our spending, that really kind of starts a great path of intentional learning and connection to money and our relationship with money. And that goes back with my children. You mentioned you have kids and their relationship with money. So I've noticed over the years since they were little, we live in this instant gratification society where I can order something online and deliver the next day. And I've seen the transition over the years with my kids. I mean, from being as little as 5 years old and the package shows up on the doorstep and my kids are like, "Mommy, what's this?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, I just ordered something." And then they watch me over time do this. And now they're almost 12. And that's their standard. Their standard is it just shows up and it's easy to get. And, we've been very blessed in our lives. And I feel very grateful for that. But sometimes it's led me to this place where I'm like, whoa, they really need to step back and say, what do I want this for? What do I need this for? What does this mean when I ask for something or when I buy something with all the money they get for their birthdays and things like that? And so that's really been a powerful experience for me in my journey as an advisor to really step back to the area of spending and intentionally thinking about that more and becoming in alignment when we, as consumers.
Yeah. You know, one quick comment, and then I think Jen has a question, but I was thinking about that when my now almost 13-year-old was in fifth grade. They went to Young Ameritown and learned all this about money. And at that point, I got her this green light card and gave her $50 to invest in the stock market any way she wanted. And it's been really interesting from age 11 to age 13, watching that mindset shift. And, you know, as she started to get babysitting jobs, instead of me buying everything, just starting to let them understand, like, no, you can't have everything. Mm-hmm. And I find that really hard because I kind of grew up with a scarcity mindset. And I don't want my child to have a scarcity mindset, but I also don't want them, to your point, think that packages just show up whenever you want them. And so it's just this fine balance. And I think giving them access to money management early on will make a real difference.
And I was kind of thinking, I set a kind of random strange goal for 2024 that is ending up really stepping into that mindset. I decided... I think since COVID, I just started collecting clothes and clothes and clothes. And then I'm like, this is unbelievable. And so I like for this year, I am not going to purchase any clothes or shoes for an entire year. And if I can get through the whole year, I'm going to gift myself with a wardrobe makeover. I thought that would be like a really fun reward. And what's been, I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the challenge. Now I will tell you, I'm asking for shoes for Mother's Day. I'm finding a little work. I'm like, I need some tennis shoes. But, what's happened is like, I normally go get my nails done and I've decided to stop doing that. Like, I'm kind of on this, like, why am I doing all of this? Like, I like just like being really thoughtful on all the money that gets put out. And then not to say that I don't ever want to spend money, but like asking the question, like, why am I? I'm doing it just because it's a routine. It's just because what I always do. And instead of stepping back and asking those questions. So I didn't, until you were talking, even think about like that. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting mindfulness back into my spending. My next step will definitely be Amazon, though. Like, that is too easy. We have our AMX points tied to it. And so it's like constant, like too easy to just go out and get whatever. So I was thinking abundance versus scarcity as you were talking as well. And then Ranelle mentioned it. Would you want to speak into that a little bit? Like, this is kind of, I don't know if it's a buzzword, but I've heard it a lot. I sense it in my life when I'm operating out of scarcity and when I'm more releasing into abundance and that feeling. Do you have any thoughts you want to speak into on that?
Well, it's funny. I've actually always operated from the abundance side, and I think it was just the way I was raised. And so but so many women that I've worked with, it is the scarcity mindset. And so in my perspective, it's about, in general in life, and especially I've learned this again as a parent, the more I twist things to the positive side for my kids, the more you feel better, right? It's just this feeling of connection that's so much more positive in general. And so, you know, having money mindset, positive money mindset mantras, and really drawing on something that resonates with you, not just random mindset, positive, you know, abundance mindsets, but things that resonate with you. So I always like to say, you know, when we're getting into that mindset, and I really like what you're doing, Jen, I'm going to actually probably take some of those ideas, because that's, I mean, very challenging, but so rewarding. And you're not missing really much, right? You don't end up missing anything, I'm sure. So, but, you know, I think for me, it is in this journey, especially as I teach other women to come out of that scarcity thought process, and my kids not to think negatively, because they get a lot of negative influences at schools and society in general, is where do we start? And I I truly believe we start with identifying what's important to us in our values and our purpose in life and wherever we are in that journey. And so if you have that, you know, when you speak to scarcity and abundance, step back and reevaluate your values and really try to hone in on what's important to you, because that helps lead you forward in clarity and intention in whatever we're doing, right, in life. And so having that positive mindset, as hard as it can be too. I mean, I know that I have plenty of days where I'm like, things aren't going well. And I just don't want to do this, or I don't feel like I have enough, right? I mean, we all have those times, but the more we make those shifts to say, you know what, this is enough for me and I don't need that. I want it, but what is it going to do to the world I live in and my values that I encompass in my life? For example, like, you know, if I'm shopping, you know, at one store, does that store really represent what I believe in? And so that takes you to a whole nother level of thinking and being more intentional, that then you start to step back and say, wow, I have never thought about it like that before. It was more habit or rewarding myself because I don't feel scarcity right now. I'm now just rewarding myself, right? Instead of really thinking about that intentional connection between what I'm spending on and how I'm spending it and my emotions.
Shelley, how would you help women and all people reframe? I'm just trying to think of these moments where I'm trying to get my kids, especially my daughter, to just be a little bit more mindful to, you know, just right now, the economy is a little different. We've adjusted our spending a little bit, and to have her be mindful, but not feel like I'm being, you know, producing a scarcity mindset in her, trying to produce balance. And so could you help find the difference between scarcity and then balancing and being mindful?
Well, I think it comes back to we really creating an intentional thought process and helping our kids along that path as well. So some of the things that I do with my kids is, you know, we actually create financial vision boards together. And so when they're feeling like, gosh, you know, everybody has all these things and they shop at these stores and I don't want to shop at that store because I want to go to the, you know, my kids have these very specific places they like to shop. And sometimes I'm like, well, this is kind of ridiculous. I mean, this is where I shop. I mean, you know, it's kind of cost wise. And so I step back and I've had the conversations with my girls where I'm like, do you know anything about that store or that product you're buying? You know, I just start to kind of ask them questions, and that really helps them go, no, you know, I mean, that's the first thing is no, I don't know, but you know, it does help them reframe their thought process. So they're not thinking, well, you just said no to me. You just said, I can't go get something because money is tight or the inflation's high, or we're just not spending money right now. Instead, it's like, well, why do we want that right now? Let's think about what it means and what we could be doing differently at this point, you know, instead of the word no, you know, or it's a budget issue. I always like to use the word lifestyle choices with clients as well. So I've heard for years, and this is especially true of women, they feel very, the word budget makes them feel very uncomfortable because it feels restraining. It feels like you're putting me into a scarcity mode, right? So switching that to lifestyle choices. So I'll use that with my kids and say, you know, does this fit into our lifestyle right now? I mean, how's this going to change your lifestyle right now? I mean, if you're growing out of your clothes, okay, I understand that. Like if you need something because it doesn't, you know, your clothes don't fit anymore, that's one thing. But again, you know, taking a deeper dive with them and helping educate them a little bit more on why they're wanting to make that choice and how it aligns with what's important to them. I mean, that's a big conversation. I realize that, but it actually can be fun. And I love doing financial vision boards with my kids. And it just is like they get to gather and create and craft. And that changes their thought process on buying things also, right? Because it's a shift and it can be done with no money, just with what you have around the house.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I have another question for both of you, actually. I have this notion sometimes that it's more expensive to be a female or a woman in our society. And yet women make what, 70% of what men make, et cetera. And meaning like, not that we have to get all this, but there is some pressure of we wear makeup, our haircuts are more expensive, we wear more jewelry, our clothes seem to be more expensive. I'm just curious what both of you think on that, or if that's a mindset I need to change, but like, is it really more expensive to be a female?
For me, I laugh, my husband and I kind of talk about it. I have like, the nails, hair, get my hair done, all that. But he has horses. So I feel like, I kind of put it in the world of hobby and not as much required. Like I choose to spend money on my hair and my makeup. It's like the choice of where I want to spend money. But Shelley, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a really good perspective to think about it like that as far as hobbies and comparing it. I think that's a great approach. I mean, there are statistics, and I read them every day, that it does cost women more. I mean, we are by nature more of the consumers in the economy. We make a lot of the decisions for household goods and for kids things and for, and absolutely agree. I mean, makeup and beauty maintenance and all of these things, and they are choices. Some of them, a lot of them are choices that we make. So it is creating balance. And yeah, we have the disparity in income, and therefore we have to, be more mindful, I think, than our male counterparts because of the fact that we don't make as much historically. And we don't have the risk tolerance historically to invest the money as aggressively as men have, right? That's just a statistical number. But so it is a little harder for us. So that's where and society in general as consumers market, we get marketed to a lot, right? And we have so many different avenues coming to us for kids, for house, for self, for beauty, for, fitness, you name it. It can be challenging. So that's where that lifestyle choices really starts to resonate when you use a mindful, intentional approach around money rather than thinking of everything in terms of a budget and just kind of thinking outside the box when it comes to the way you spend. Like you're saying, Jen, these are my hobbies. These are my husband's hobbies. How do we compare, right? And that's a great way to look at it when you're in a relationship or even when you're alone and you're doing things like that. Like, this is my hobby money. Or my necessities versus my discretionary choices.
Yeah, being thoughtful with that. Yeah, I am curious. I wrote this down at the very beginning. You talked about women investing and how, and I know that is statistically we do not invest. I would like to hear more about why you think traditionally. I think it probably goes into having been a one income family that then now we are two income and so women are kind of just getting geared up for that. But also like what does need to shift in our thinking to get us into that place where we feel open to investing and feel more able to put that risk out there? For me personally, my investment has been in the form of starting small businesses, and then they've gotten to bigger businesses, and then they've gotten risky, and now they're getting terrifying. And so but it was baby steps for me. And I don't know if it was just having a small win after a small win, like what led me to now where I take big risks, probably inappropriately. So big risks sometimes, speak into like why traditionally we haven't invested as much as men, and then how that mindset can shift to open us up to that?
I think that's a great question. So traditionally, back to your point, I mean, weren't working. We were working in the house and we didn't have that same introduction to stock market or different types of investments, even if it's, I do think a lot of women nowadays are very diversified in their investment choices. Like you said, businesses and real estate. It's not just your traditional stock and bonds type of investments. But what I've found is that the risk component is more, again, that mindset that they're afraid to lose, so they won't be able to live the lifestyle that they want. But I think the key ultimately is surrounding yourself with a community or several people that you can have the conversations with about the risk to find that balance that you're comfortable with, because risk is a very personal thing, right? And you mentioned, Jen, that you may be taking on more risk, but as long as you're comfortable with it, that's the key, right? And that you have a support system to help manage the risk. And that's, whether it's your husband, whether it's your business partners, whether it's your financial advisors, or all of them. I think what I found is women haven't found necessarily those resources or those teams to talk to about money. So men on the golf course talk about business. They talk about in the elevators, we joke about when the stock market's really good, people will talk about their stocks they own, but that's not necessarily women. I mean, we're talking about a lot of things, but it's not necessarily those things, right? So we just don't come from that framework where we're talking about it for generations. And I think that that's changing for sure. Women are definitely becoming more engaged through their retirement accounts and investing just, in their 401ks and things of that nature. But what I would say too is when you're thinking about spending, you easily can make that connection with the companies that you're spending with. Those, and there's a whole checklist that you can go through just to say, where am I spending the most of my money? Do I own that stock in my investment portfolio? Or can I? Is it publicly traded? Is it private? Just having those really simple questions answered, and knowing them, asking your kids if they understand the difference, as you mentioned, Ren, that your daughter's investing, what kind of companies that they're buying and do they spend their money? Because that's full circle right there. And it's very, very simple to just say, these are the companies that I buy and I, go to the grocery store and purchase from on a regular basis. Now, do I own them in my portfolio? And do I like what they represent? Pretty simple.
That's a great point. I have another question that comes to mind when we talk about investing and women and money. So if money technically is an emergent phenomenon, and yes, I've listened to some podcasts about the history of money, which is where I got that, and the future of money, do you have any thoughts as if we say the way money works now maybe has a more masculine bent on it, if we were to be more balanced with money, with the feminine and the masculine energies, do you have any sense of what the world of money could look like?
That's a really interesting question. I haven't quite thought about it like that before. But what I would say, as a woman and in the financial industry, I think the language is very masculine. And I mentioned this earlier. I think the Wall Street in general has been a very masculine. And even when I am with clients, I tend to get into this very analytical, masculine mindset. Not that women can't be analytical, that's not at all. But it's when we throw in our natural balance as females, right? And what I'm saying that we do so much of every day is make decisions on purchasing power from our households, as I mentioned, for our kids. We do this so naturally. So if you tie in that's kind of what I'm getting back to with just creating that value thought process and being mindful, that creates the balance around money. And that shift, in my opinion, is when we start spending more mindfully around things that are value-based and important to us, right? And then we drive those dollars to the corporate culture. They start marketing differently. Then we shift the male-female money mindset, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? Then that shifts naturally because of our consumption power. I think we have such an amazing ability to shift corporate culture, shift our communities, the way that corporations spend money, the way they market to the consumer, simply by the way we spend our money. And it's kind of an upcycle. We spend the smallest dollars can make a huge impact on that money drop, you know, flow from the male perspective.
That excites me from a conscious leadership perspective, where of like, I hadn't thought about that's another realm for bringing in more balance and consciousness to our corporations, is how we're spending and how, and our mindfulness and values around that. And I like how you put the balance of the maybe it's the intuitive and the analytical. They both have a place. Right now it might be more balanced to the analytical, and we have the power to bring the balance, is what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We absolutely have the power just through our spending and being conscious of, you know, the investment that we're actually making on our spending, right? And then you can tie that easily back into the actual investments that you own and where you want to invest your dollars and take your risk. But it's a full circle, and it is a web of influence that we can create as females and as consumers in general, whether you're female or male, whether you're, you know, you're teaching to your son or to your daughter. It is our financial impact that we can make by simply bringing a mindful, intentional approach to how we spend money. And then that flow of money that, it's pretty incredible what can happen.
Mm-hmm. I think in general, there are savers and there are spenders. I see that in my children. They're adults now. My one daughter, who she now is finance, she's a finance manager and a contracting company. And she did a class, I think it was her junior or senior year of high school, on finance and learned about a Roth IRA and opened one immediately. And, you know, she just has always thought that way. I was curious what you think about, like, the platform like Robinhood for, like, those just dipping your toes into investing, as opposed to, you know, for maybe the younger or just people that are curious. Like, what do you think about those type of new avenues?
I think it's great. I think it's an easy and convenient, comfortable way to get involved in investing, right? So they've opened the door to simplicity. So I think, you know, you kind of asked this before, you know, what stops women from doing investing and being more, you know, investors? Well, I see them, most women will have a retirement account, but they don't dip their toes individually unless they, you know, somebody's guiding them to do that. And those type of platforms can really help. But it's very easy to set up an investment account online. I think what happens is people start to say, and this is, again, is what I hear, I don't even know what type of account to open. You know, your daughter heard about the Roth account. She educated herself on what that meant. So she set one up. But I hear time and time, I don't even know where to start. Because once you go into the sites, then you start to get like, there's like 7 or 8 different accounts I can open here, and I don't even know which one to do. But I think it can be intimidating. And I think those platforms are really trying to make it easier for everyone to get access and try. And, you know, you could start with such small dollars, you know, just small dollars in any investment account can make a big difference over time.
And then when they want to step into the harder investing is when they reach out to a financial planner like yourself, who can navigate the waters of which direction I should go. I think that's the best option. It is so overwhelming when you get to the place where you're wanting to invest for your retirement and you're wanting to make more risky investments. It's important to find someone you trust that has the same core values as you to help make those decisions. Yeah.
Shall I say more about women, just even in general, people having financial planners? What stops people? What false beliefs stop people? What are the benefits? Why would somebody want to have a financial planner? Is there a certain level of income you have to be at to invest in a financial planner, or can you start anytime? Like, say more about that.
Well, you can start with at any point in time in your life. And financial planning is key. And there are tools and all online as well that can walk you through like the terminology and things like that. I think what stops people is a couple things. One, I think in our industry, we use the word wealth a lot, wealth management. And, you know, and I think people are always like, well, I'm not wealthy. I don't have any wealth. I'm not going to, or they're intimidated because of minimums and things of that nature. But, you know, there are so many just online advisory firms and different platforms that you can go to and say, I just need help. Where do I start? But ultimately, I always say, talk to your friends and family, because again, as women, as I mentioned before, it's not as natural for us to be talking about our money with each other. And I noticed this, you know, in corporate America, I worked in corporate America for years, where men would talk about what they made and what their bonuses were, and women really didn't. I mean, just having the conversations with friends about, well, who do you work with? Do you have a financial planner? You know, when did you start? And with your children. I have worked with many generations, but a lot of clients will not introduce their kids to investments or to planning or to their advisors. And I've seen both sides, when they do and when they don't. And when they don't and something happens to the parents, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this big shock factor. So I really believe that starting that dialogue with your family, even if it's your parents at this point, right? So, you know, we've talked about kids, but having conversations with your parents, and you don't have to get personal, like, well, how much money do you have? You know, you don't have to go there. It's more of a, hey, take it from the personal side. I'm just trying to discover what money means to me and what I'm trying to accomplish with my money and what I want that to look like for the future. Do you work with anybody? Have you had good experiences? Have the conversations with your parents, both your moms and your dads. It doesn't matter, your male friends, your female friends, and get different perspectives. And ultimately it comes down to who you trust and who you feel comfortable with. And as you said, Jen, who you align with values, with an advisor, because most advisors are going to be there to support you in the industry. They want to help you. And even if their firm has a minimum level they'll work with, they very easily will refer you to someone that can help you. It's just, I think it's the most intimidating thing for people to take that step. And not to mention, we're so busy, we're running on doing so many other things that this avenue of our life gets put on the back burner very often. And that's why I call it seasonal finance, because just incorporate it in with your seasonal habits. You change your clothes, your wardrobe out seasonally, you know, things like that. Just incorporate your financial management and mindset checkup on a seasonal basis.
I love that. And can we get access to the quiz? Can we put that on the show notes?
Yeah, that'd be great. It's okay. Yeah, it's a money mindset quiz, and it's a personality type. So you'll get to kind of and what's so fun about it is we go through different journeys in our life, right? In all stages, and with our money as well. So when you're doing the quiz, you may be like, oh my gosh, I used to be like that, but now I'm this one or something like that. But I've found that to be true for me. I'm actually a juggler at this stage of my life, with my kids and my business and my, you know, everything I'm taking care of. So it gives tips on how to kind of manage the personality that you have at the moment.
What, kind of as we wrap up, if you were to kind of look at the different, however you define different life chapters, but what message do you either want to give to just all of us, or is there a message kind of in each in some specific life chapters about money and money mindset and prosperity?
Well, I would say there are different chapters. However, I think the message is the same. It's never too late. It's always the right time. And it can only get better, right? So the more we create an intentional and value-aligned process with our money and our mindset around money, the easier it becomes, because then any stage of your life, anything that happens, whether it's a transition like a job or a divorce or a death of a loved one, or you know, you want to start a business or you want to take that lifelong trip, or you're thinking about creating legacy for your loved ones, it doesn't matter, because if you create the value intentional thought process behind your money, you will have that with you the rest of your life. So again, never too late. Now's the perfect time. Really just step back and take some time to think about money differently and don't get hung up on the past. You know, I know it's easy to do that, but just remember that moving forward is all about how I'm feeling now and what my values and purpose in life are today and what I see for the future, not what I've been through in the past. And so that really is true for any person and any stage of their life.
That is great advice.
I love that. I think that is really great. We can get into regrets. We can get into shame. We can get into kind of staying in the past. And the past has nothing for us other than some lessons learned and then focus on the future. So thank you.
And be proud of yourself that you're moving forward, right? Like always. That's how I feel. Like I learned from that and now I'm going to do something different.
I love that. Very inspirational. And it's, you know, it's in so many areas, including money, this mindset, these beliefs, that this inner world of ours, that is what makes the difference in our outer world. Over and over again, from every expert we talk to, it's this inner world that we've got to make these inner shifts. And that's what changes our external circumstances. So thank you, Shelley, for being so inspiring and really helping other women get out there and invest, and the men that love and support women also encourage us to do that.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you for having
so
me.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
All right. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a great conversation. Thank you for introducing me.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was just a lot of inspiration there and even a lot of shift that I was thinking about that I need to make, that it's like, oh, wow, they're the things that I do in the leadership world. I could really kind of practice what I preach in my own area of beliefs and maybe taking more risks with money. So that was really inspiring on so many levels. And I hope there's the people listening, there's some takeaways there. How about for you?
Well, I do. I agree. I think I have stepped into being more mindful in how I spend my money, but I didn't really put those words to it. And so I really am excited to kind of think that way and step into when I make choices. So for instance, my husband and I were at Costco this weekend and he veered into the clothes and I, you know, kept going. I'm not even going. And I was like, that was like such an easy choice. And had I not set this goal, I would have just done what we always do. Like, what good deals can we get, you know, at Costco for clothes? And I love that thought of being mindful about it, because it didn't come across as scarcity for me at all. It didn't feel like, you know, no, you can't do this. It just felt like this is a choice and I choose not to do that. And so as I think of continuing on, I'm almost 4 months into the journey of not buying any clothes or shoes. And as I continue through the year, I am really excited to put more mindful practices into all of my spending instead of it can become so easy to just throw money here, throw money there, throw money here. And then it's just unnecessary.
Right. That's a good point. You know, I'm less of a shoes and clothes person. I actually probably need more clothes and shoes, but I'm very much a travel and experience person. Yeah. And so some of the things that I've been working on is I can have really rich experiences right here in our backyard. Mm. And I don't have to necessarily travel somewhere. Now, travel is a big value of mine, so I'm not looking to give that up. And at the same time, I don't have to always be having some big extravagant experience. Like I can really make experiences much more locally, or like I used to travel when I was in my early 20s and staying in hostels. Like I, you know, just really making some of those shifts and not having to compare myself to maybe people that are taking lavish trips, mm-hmm. so that mine can be just as lavish if my mindset of lavish means something different. So there are so many different ways to simplify. So as you get less clothes, I probably need to work on getting a few more.
Right. I would love to travel more. It's always this time of year in Colorado, it's very easy to be like, we don't need to travel because it's just gorgeous. It's the weather's beautiful. There's so much to do in our state really close. And then whenever winter hits is when I'm like, okay, I need to go somewhere warm.
So, yeah, it's like, hello, Mexico, exactly. Or wherever. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So, all right. Well, this was wonderful. I really look forward to some of the shifts even that I'm going to make. That was really inspiring for me. And so thank you for such great questions also. I really appreciated what you asked.
It was a great time. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Ranel. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. Okay. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren. We hope you found inspiration in today's stories and tools to navigate your own journey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more stories and ideas.
A special thanks to our sponsors, Insight Coaching and Consulting, and Connects Workspace for their support in bringing these stories to life. Insight exists to raise the collective consciousness of our world and heal the systems that hurt us. Visit Insight at insight-cc.com to transform your leaders and your organization from the inside out.
Connects Workspace is a vibrant co-working community. Visit connectsworkspace.com if you are looking for a great place to connect in Golden, Colorado.
Join us next time on Life's Vital Chapters. Until then, keep turning the page and embracing your story. Remember, every chapter counts.